Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today, we are going to talk about fear, specifically the fear of launching something, the fear of getting started, and basically how to break things down in order to kind of overcome this anxiety and actually get stuff done.
I'm very excited about this podcast because I had a lot of fear about launching our course.
You know, what's funny about this is I had zero fear about launching our course. I do have fears about launching stuff, but in general, when it comes to courses, digital products, and that sort of thing, I don't have any fear. The only thing that's ever scared me from a launch is launching the event, the Seller Summit, which is the event that both Tony and I run. And the reason why is because I want to say there was what, like $40,000 on the line, $50,000?
Oh, I think there was probably close to six figures on the line. I probably didn't tell you that, though. I think that...
Okay.
Actually, I'm positive I didn't tell you that. Surprise.
So basically, money makes me nervous, but just launching to crickets doesn't make me nervous. What were your fears about launching the course?
So with launching the course... And it's funny, I was trying to think about this for myself, because when we did a little pre-con about this, you told me you didn't have a lot of fear about launching. And I had so much fear about launching the course. But then I thought about other things that I've done and I haven't had any fear. So I was trying to sort of process why certain things cause me fear. And I know you said it was money. I think for me, it's a different reason we can talk about. But with the course, I think my first fear was we were launching a course with a lifetime access. And lifetime seemed scary to me.
That's true. So you were fearing commitment. Is that what I want to hear? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I had a huge fear of commitment. I think it was the fear of, well, you have your profitable online store course that you've been running for 7 or 8 years now, and you do weekly office hours, which is what we are offering for our course. And that was very scary to me because it's every single week you got to come up with a new topic. You got to do a live presentation for the rest of your life. That seems like a big commitment.
Okay. So what does this have to do with the launch?
Well, I knew that to launch it, like that was a hurdle that I had to mentally overcome that I was gonna, because when you launch a course or a digital product or an ebook or anything, you have to sell it. And to sell it well, you have to really believe in it. And so for me, I had to convince myself that I was gonna be able to go live every single week for a very long time and sell that. And I wasn't real thrilled about the idea initially.
Okay, so this would have been good to know before we launched the thing.
But the title of this is Getting Past the Fear, so clearly okay. I figured it out.
Okay.
So that was my first fear, was commitment. I mean, obviously commitment to you as well. Like, I'm doing this with you for the rest of my life. So that was fear number two. And then fear number three was, the fear that everybody has, that we spend all this time and effort into creating something and nobody's interested.
Right. Okay. So that's what I thought we were talking about today. not fear of commitment.
Not my commitment issues? Uh-oh.
Yes. I thought we were talking about, fear of launch, which is what most people have. You should have told me about this commitment thing. I mean, we didn't have to do lifetime if you didn't want to.
No,
but that's beside the point.
I think it's a great, I love the idea. I had to get over my own personal stuff with that. And I actually used you as an example because I know for you, you are very hesitant. I know on another podcast, you talked about you don't like to have anything on the calendar. You like to have your time free. And I felt like for someone like you, whose priority is to have a lot of white space, if you could do this, then it would be okay. It would be okay for me because I could create that same amount of space as well. So it wasn't as the idea of it was much more overwhelming than actually the reality of it.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about what most people fear, because I'm pretty sure most people aren't going to be doing like a lifetime course like we are.
Okay.
I think the main fear, and this is just, I don't really have this fear, so I'm putting words in your mouth here, is that you're going to launch to crickets, right?
Absolutely. That's everybody's fear,
or
majority.
Well, for me, I don't have that fear as long as the monetary costs are low. So with the course, like literally we invested $0.
I mean, we bought a domain, $14.95.
Okay, fine. Yes. Anything under like a couple $100 is nothing to me in terms of startup costs, right? I mean, if you think about starting a brick and mortar store or something like that, which is like $500,000 and whatnot. Like, realistically, I think we spent under $50.
Yeah, it was definitely under 100, but probably under 50.
Right, under $50. So, worst case scenario, you launch to crickets, no one signs up. Oh, well, what do we lose? $50? For the potential to make like thousands and thousands? Like the math was heavily in our favor.
Right.
So I guess most people don't do math.
I don't see, you think of it in terms of money. I don't think of it in terms of money at all. I think of it in terms of nobody likes me. Nobody cares about what I have to say.
All right, so let's talk about that.
Okay.
So how do you overcome that fear? Like we didn't just launch without telling anybody. Like we had a pre-launch list. We already kind of probed what people actually wanted to learn. So, I mean, if you do that, if you take the steps to probe your audience and ask them what they want and whether they'd be interested in signing up for something, then there shouldn't be really any fear because you already have like this list of people that are interested, right?
I agree. And I think that's one of the first things that you should do to overcome fear and being able to actually launch something is to talk to your audience. So if you already have an audience, that's step one, is to ask them either through a survey. And I actually don't remember how we did this, and you could probably remind me, is to do a survey or to just, you know, get on a Facebook Live, ask a question on social media, one of those Instagram polls about creating something, because I know we've both seen people who've created products that were a little bit off from what their audience wanted, and then they didn't see a lot of success because instead of listening to their audience, they kind of just went with something they wanted to do, and they didn't see the same results as someone who basically is giving their audience exactly what they're asking for.
Yeah, when it comes to the digital stuff, I don't think I've launched anything ever without probing the audience first. So for the profitable audience class that we're running now together, we had sent out an email that had people just ask people if they were interested in learning about this stuff. And then there was like a separate launch list just for those people. And right. I remember it being, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think there were over 1,000 people on that list.
Well, I remember when we were talking about doing Seller Summit, you said, I'm going to email my list. I do remember this one. You said, I'm going to email my list. If we get 1,000 people to say that they're interested, then we'll move forward with contract negotiations with the hotel. And so you emailed your list, we got well over 1,000 people, and then we moved forward. But it's basically the same concept, asking people if they're interested before you commit either time or money to taking the next steps.
As long as you do that, you know what I actually don't even like the word launch.
Okay.
Because the word launch implies that you're putting all of your efforts and all of your mind share on this singular event that really doesn't matter that much. Would you agree with that?
I like that. I think I do agree with it.
So let's take my first course. I think I launched and there was 35 people that signed up, right? But today I have like 4,000 people in the course, right? So the launch percentage-wise, it's like a percent, less than a percent.
Right.
If you put like all of your, like the launch is nothing.
Well, so many people, I mean, there's books written about it. I mean, so many people focus on the launch. So I think that maybe our perception is even skewed on how important a launch really is based on the amount of attention it gets, because not a lot of people write about the grind after the launch. But most people are writing about how to actually get started.
So when you were thinking about our launch, what was going on through your head? Did it have to do with it not being successful? Or because I remember when we were talking about this, you were worried that we weren't even going to get 4 people to sign up, if I recall.
I feel like you'd like to bring this up in every podcast.
I do, yeah.
Okay. I got to find my thing to bring up in the podcast.
Well, what I'm saying is what you're saying and what I experienced were two different things. You were talking about the fear of commitment just now, but yes. I recall you being worried that we weren't going to sell any.
Right. But that's sort of the... But do you see how they piggybacked off each other? Because we're committing to do something and then we're going to commit to do something for 4 people? I mean, I know that every person is important and every customer is important, but that's very overwhelming to say, like, I have 4 people and then I'm going to commit to do this for the rest of my life. That was my fear.
Sure. Okay. Right. So 4 people, but then that meant that you were kind of hinging on this launch as we were only going to get 4 people for the rest
right,
that of was the clear, life of the course.
Clearly, I was wrong on that. But here's the thing I want to say really quickly. I actually think fear is not a bad thing. I don't think having a little bit of fear when you do these things is negative, because I think fear, to me, shows that something's important to you. I think if you don't have any fear at all, now I understand what you're saying about if there's not money on the line, because I think in your mind, you feel like you're going to make it up in some way. Maybe the launch won't be great, but eventually you'll get to this point where you want to be. But I think fear to me says that something's important to you because it matters. And that's why you have that fear, because if it didn't matter, then I don't know. I don't think you'd care as much.
So by that definition, I didn't really care about the course that we launched together then, right?
Well, you did care, but I feel like you had a different perspective of it than me because you had experience launching a course, which I hadn't. And mm-hmm. I think you have a different view of launching. You just said it, where you talked about it's not really about the launch. It's sort of about the whole process. And, you know, you don't put all your eggs in this one basket. So for you, I don't think the launch is ever going to be as important as probably most people think it is, as far as to gauge the success of something that you're doing.
All right. Yeah. You know, what's funny is, so we run this course together, and then people are always worried about launching their website.
Yes.
For example. And, you know, we experience this all the time, and no one's going to be able to find your website when you launch. So you may also just put it out there, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But I think most other outside of you, most people have a fear of launching. And I think for the main reason of that, no one's going to pay attention to you or purchase or buy your ebook or whatever it is you're selling or doing, reading your website or watching your YouTube videos. But I think the first step was what we already talked about is, you know, if you have an audience already and you're doing something new, talk to them. What would you say would be the second step for somebody that they want to, if they want to overcome that feeling of fear?
I mean, for me, I always like to just kind of break down the worst thing that can possibly happen.
Okay.
So with the Seller Summit, the worst thing would be I'd be out six figures, apparently, that you're telling me now.
Yeah. Surprise.
And not the number. Exactly. And how did I overcome that? And this is going to sound weird, but I kind of treated it like how I play the stock market.
Okay.
Like I set aside just some money where if I'm going to lose it, I'm going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just go from there. And that's the worst case scenario is I lose this. It's not like I'm going to lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just give it a try. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
For me with Seller Summit, I didn't have the same amount of fear because I knew we could break even. And even though that wouldn't, to me, be considered successful, I knew that was better than losing.
Why were you so sure we were going to break even?
I did the math.
But there is no math on people signing up for an event. In my eyes, someone attending an event is a lot more work than selling a digital course, right?
Absolutely.
Because they have to book airfare, they have to get a hotel, they have to travel, set aside exact times when this event is happening.
But I knew we could break even. Based on just pulling people from Florida, maybe Georgia, the southern states, because we were holding it in Florida.
Hmm. Okay. Based on, did you have data for this? Like all we had was our launch list, right?
Yeah, but I figured you had at least 100 people that wanted to hang out with you.
Okay. All right. Whereas with the course, like what's the worst thing that can happen? No one shows up to your webinar or mm-hmm. one or two people sign up or zero people sign up?
Yeah. I mean, that's...
I mean, worst case scenario, let's say you didn't want it. Let's say there weren't enough people to warrant like lifetime office hours or whatnot. You just return their money, right? And just call it a day.
That seems so easy when you say it that way.
Okay. So how would you say it then?
No, I mean, that when you say it that way, I think, well, yeah, you're right. That's true. But then why does everybody have so much fear?
I don't know. That question is for you. So... So let's talk about your fears and then what you like to do.
Well, here's something that I was thinking about as we were talking about recording this is that, and I actually was talking to a friend about this the other day who has an idea for an e-commerce product and he hasn't done anything with it. And we were talking about why not. And I think one of the problems that people have is that they create this elaborate business plan or elaborate course structure or whatever it is, they do everything in advance, which is what I wanted to do for the course. And you were adamant that we did not have anything more that, well, you wanted to launch with two modules. I forced us to launch with three.
Okay, I wanted to launch with zero modules. Let's just make that clear.
I was trying to give you a little bit of credit.
All right, yeah.
But what I realized, and when I was thinking back about me starting Happy Housewife, me starting my e-commerce store, I launched Happy Housewife. I had zero plan, zero idea. I knew kind of what I wanted to write about, but I had really no idea what I was doing. When I launched my e-commerce store, I mean, you knew me when I did that. And I basically went from idea to launching in 2 months, which is crazy for e-commerce because you got to get product. But I didn't give myself enough time to have any fear because I just did it without a plan. And I think you need to have some sort of a shell of an outline, but I think too many people... If we would have done 9 modules for that class, for our course now, and launched with that, we would be really irritated because we've restructured so much already, even in the past 14 months, that then I would have been irritated that we wasted valuable time on something that wasn't really what we needed to be doing. And whereas now what we've done is pivoted pretty easily and started creating the things that we feel like are more relevant.
Yeah, actually, a lot of people overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
And I actually have a bunch of colleagues who have these really complicated funnels, actually. And then they asked me what I do. And I was like, well, I just do YouTube Live. And then I have this free chat. And then I just send out to my list. Like, I don't really have anything. I don't think there's really anything complicated that I do, to be honest with you. Maybe it's because I'm an engineer. And any sort of complexity always breaks.
Yeah.
It always breaks. So that's why I keep things as simple as possible, even if it means... Sometimes there's more manual work involved. But anyway, people in their minds, when they think of launching and whatnot, they think of all these little pieces that need to be in place, but really you're just trying to sell something at the end of the day, right?
Yes, and I think that's where people can really overcome this pretty quickly, is that they stop trying to have everything done. And I know coming from me, that sounds insane because I'm the person that wants to have everything done. But I've realized when we talked about doing this podcast, I thought, okay, when in my life have I just jumped in and when in my life have I overthought things? And the things that I overthink just never work out as well as when I, you know, started the e-commerce, when I decided to write the e-books. I literally wrote them in an afternoon. I had an idea to write the e-book because I saw an opportunity. I wrote the e-book, figured it out in an afternoon, and put it out there the next day. And so you don't give yourself time to be afraid. Now, I think there's some importance in planning, especially if you're doing something like full-blown, like a course. But most people, I think, over-plan.
Yeah. So I actually don't agree with your method either. So you're saying just do it quickly so you don't have time to fear something?
I do.
Huh. Okay. I'm not that way at all.
No, I know. I know.
Yeah.
But that's when I see the most success, is when I just jump in. It's like jumping in without the life vest, and you just have to learn. It's like didn't both of us learn how to swim this way? Haven't we had this conversation
before?
Yes,
we have had this conversation.
Yes, where neither of us knew how to swim, but we went to like somewhere where other people did. So we just jumped in, and it was either drown or be popular. And we both picked the be popular, right? I mean, that was what it was.
Well, my story is a little more embarrassing, but that might be another tale for a different time. Okay, so I don't agree with... I don't think I've ever jumped into something outside of the swimming pool, I guess.
Yeah.
when it comes to business.
Okay.
Because I believe in putting your best foot forward, right? So
yeah, I do too, for sure.
So you have to do enough that makes you feel good about the launch. And then here's why I'm saying this. I think a lot of people purposely don't do everything they can in order to give themselves an excuse later if it doesn't work out. So for example, let's say we launched our class and I decided I didn't want to send it out to part of my list, right? Because maybe they wouldn't be interested in it. And then so when we launched and we only had like a couple signups, I'd be like, oh, you know what? It's probably because I didn't market to these people heavily enough.
Interesting. Okay.
Right? Or
so I'm trying to think of another example. You're self-sabotaging.
Self-sabotaging, right? Or let's say I'm playing in like a volleyball match and I didn't practice as hard or something like that.
Okay.
And then I lose and I go, you know what? It's probably because I didn't get a chance to practice that.
Okay.
I think this is a human tendency. Like I tend to do this myself and I actually have to fight it each time. Like I just have this tendency to just try to find excuses for things. So that's why like my philosophy now, and this is something I have to work on and I force myself to do. And this is what I call like putting your best foot forward. Like I am going to try everything that I can to make sure that it's successful. And this sounds like common sense, but it really isn't. Try everything that you can to make something successful. And so that when it happens, and if you end up failing, at least in your mind, you can justify it to yourself saying, all right, at least I did my best here. Like I didn't leave any corners unturned. And so that would that's how I would rationalize to myself if something didn't go as well as I wanted it to go.
Agree to disagree. I totally agree with you in that people sabotage and they do things like, well, I didn't email my whole list, or, well, I didn't have all the modules out. You know, they can use those things to make excuses for why something didn't work. But I think about when I launched the jewelry business, do you remember what my initial goal was when I started that? You probably don't. I thought we were going to sell the jewelry on the daily deal sites like Zulily and Jane, and there were a couple other ones. I don't think some of them are still in business. But that's how I thought we were going to launch the jewelry. And we launched on Jane and we got zero sales.
I didn't know that. Zero sales?
Zero sales. Zero. Okay. So we launched on Jane and we might have had one, but it was probably someone I knew. I don't think we had any like legit direct sales from Jane. And so immediately, like after 24 hours, because when you do those sites, you get results pretty quickly because it pops up on the homepage and things like that. And I thought, well, we've got to pivot. And now I have, you know, this inventory that we spent, I don't know, it was probably like $1,000 or $2,000 on, which isn't a ton of money, but it's a lot of money if you're if you're just trying to start something from nothing. And we put it on Amazon. And then we ended up being able to sell it on Amazon, which then shifted our entire business plan. Because I don't know if you knew this, I had no intention of selling on Amazon ever. I put it on Amazon to liquidate it because I thought I was going to do Jane and Zulily and then put it on Shopify and build a whole brand, which we did do. But we ended up starting on Amazon and then moving to our own brand 6 months later. So I don't know if you know that.
I'm trying. So what is the point of this story?
The point is that like I started something, I had a good product that I liked, that I worked on the packaging. Like I had a really good product to sell, but it did not sell on those platforms. And failing actually helped propel me to create something successful because it forced me to shift and pivot in what I was doing. So I think failing's okay.
No, it definitely is okay. I mean, this is why when we talked about this earlier, the launch isn't everything, right? So you planned to launch technically on Jane. Mm-hmm. But then you realize that the launch wasn't that big a deal, and then you made most of your money on a different platform once you pivoted after the fact, right?
Right. I don't think doing something quickly is synonymous with doing something crappily. Crappily?
Well, okay, let's break that story down then.
Okay.
Let's say your packaging sucked and you just got out the door. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, you technically did put your best foot forward, right? You created a good product, which is what matters in e-commerce.
Yeah.
Right?
But I think there's sometimes it's not synonymous to say doing something quickly means it's not the best.
Sure. I mean, we can get into this. So let's talk about our course launch. We launched with a minimum viable product.
Yep.
Right? Is this what you were getting at? Is this where you're staying in the conversation?
Kind of, yes. That's what I was, yeah.
So put out something that's good that you feel comfortable with putting out, but it doesn't have to be complete, and then make adjustments as necessary.
Yes, although sort of looking back, when I watched those first videos we put out, we're so much better now.
Yes, they were pretty bad. And I'm sure at some point we will re-record them.
But the thing was, they're not bad. I mean,
the content is good.
The content's good. We just have gotten a lot better working together in that. Like, we work together really well in a lot of different things. But we'd never work together doing teaching. And so I think the level that we've improved in that just by doing it every week is pretty significant. And so when we were rebranding in October and I was watching some of those old videos, I was cringing at some of the videos, but I'm thinking this was like take 47. This wasn't like we did a one take and launched it. Like, this was really hard work and it wasn't that great.
So here's the thing. This is fun. And this is the listeners probably don't even know our dynamic, but I remember I didn't expect anything good to come out of this in the beginning, like in terms of the quality, because
of the course or our friendship.
I'm just talking about our first videos. Like, my expectations were very low.
And mine were very high.
Because I know, like, for some reason, every time we start something, like, the technical issues always waste at least like a month, like right off the bat.
Yes, they do.
Right?
They do. Yep.
And then I'm really picky about the sound quality and certain things. And it took us like a month to work that out, right? With your setup.
Yeah.
So I went into this like having low expectations. And then I think you have much higher expectations. And then you get frustrated earlier, right?
And let's be clear. I am recording this today from my office that has no power. And I'm running an extension cord from the other side of my house. So tech issues are just my thing.
Yes. And I've come to accept that now.
Yes, you have. I've worn you down.
Yes.
Yeah, my expectations were really high. And I think they were high because of a couple things. One, you already have a course. So I felt like you knew what you were doing. Two, I don't have a course, but I've done a lot of teaching. I've done a lot of speaking. I do video all the time. So none of that was intimidating to me. But for some reason, we couldn't get our crap together when we did it with each other. And I don't know why.
All right, here's a little secret for everyone listening. No one knows what the heck they are doing.
That's true.
Right? I mean, I learned this firsthand in my engineering company. Like, this is a company making hundreds of millions of dollars. Right. And then when we're developing a product, I used to think that there was like this set formula. Like when I was, so I used to be a microprocessor designer. And I used to think like I don't want to get too technical here, but I had to design something. Right. And I used to be very self-conscious of myself because I would show my code to my boss and say, hey, am I doing this the right way? Am I doing this in such a way that, you know, you want it to look? And he just always brushed me off. He's like, yeah. Does it work? And I'm like, well, yeah, it works. And he's like, well, then it's good. As long as it works, it's fine. Right. And so over the years, I learned like no one has like a set formula or whatever. It's all about just whatever works for you is what's going to work for you.
Right. But I think people get really caught up in following other people and trying to follow a plan that maybe is not best for them. So I agree. I think once I got over myself, I mean, that's really the honest truth of that. Like once I got over myself of what I thought it should be, and we just went back to being who we are and how we interact normally, things got way better. Like yeah. I would say the crappiness of those videos is mostly on me for sure.
I wouldn't say that, but so there's no set methodology for doing anything. And even if you follow someone online who claims that they have some sort of formula or you know, they've done something this way. Every business is different. Every launch is going to be different. And so you got to just pick and choose the things that you like and then just go with the flow. Like I never read something online and try to replicate it exactly. I just take bits and pieces of what I like and then I produce my own thing. And I don't ask anyone generally if it's done the right way because everyone has a different right way of doing things.
Yeah, I do think it's important, though, and we haven't talked about this a lot, especially with our course and actually even with this podcast, right? Because we're in the middle of like this week for us, we're launching the podcast. What we did do was even though we only had two and a half modules finished for the course, we had an outline of where we wanted the course to go. So we had all the other modules shelled out. They just weren't done. Same thing with this podcast. We have a whole list of episodes that we want to record. We're not just every week making something up, just like with the course. We weren't just trying to add stuff ad hoc. We basically had a plan. We just hadn't executed all of it so that once we got started, we could shift as things went to make sure we were best serving the people that are listening or watching.
Right. I mean, the outline is exactly that. I mean, we've changed a whole bunch of things. Certain things in that outline never came to fruition and other things got added to that outline. And it's just like this moving, ever-changing thing. And so, again, going back to this launch concept again, like you might think you have a business plan written in place on how things are going to go, and that's what you consider your launch. And if you consider it a launch and you're putting everything into it, that's the wrong way to think about it because nothing is going to go exactly as you planned. And so the launch really doesn't even matter.
I think it matters a tiny bit.
Psychologically or?
Psychologically, I do. And I think like with that business plan, I think if your business plan is more than one page, then it's way too much. You should have, your plan should be basically like a one page outline of what you want to do.
All right, let's talk about this launch. So let's say you're starting a podcast or a YouTube channel from scratch.
Okay.
With no audience, right? I mean, is your launch really going to do anything?
Well, I mean, there are strategies to launching a podcast or I don't know how much there is to launching a YouTube channel, but I know with the podcast, you definitely want to get subscribers and reviews in the first couple weeks that you're out. So there's things that you have to do, like you have to get approved by iTunes. I think with everything, just like with launching a course, there's certain steps you have to take. You have to have a payment processor, right? You have to do all these things that allow the product or service to happen. But outside of that, I feel like that's, so that part is pretty firm to me. But then all the rest of the stuff is the stuff that should be pretty fluid and that you shouldn't spend a lot of time on before you get going.
Sure. I mean, just with the podcast, really all that matters is the content, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look at the launch, in the grand scheme of things, like I've been running my other podcast for what, 7 years now? The launch means nothing really in retrospect.
When you launched your other podcast, what do you remember what your expectations were or how it went?
I mean,
you already had an audience.
Okay, so this is the other thing that I like to do. And I don't know if you do this. I have very low expectations.
Hold on.
For, what?
We should have had this conversation like 4 years ago. Why are we having it today?
I always have low expectations for everything that I do. And that sounds terrible. I know, but it's the way I rationalize to myself to actually do it.
Okay. I have low expectations too.
But you don't.
Probably not as low as yours, but I think they're low, not low enough apparently.
I mean, we can talk about this podcast launch.
Okay.
It's a launch, but in reality, I'm not too stressed out about it at all because it's going to be what it's going to be, right? We'll get some initial listeners who might become our super fans, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then over time is when most of the subscribers will take place, right? In the grand scheme of things, even if we did nothing for the launch, mm-hmm. in the long run, it'd probably still perform the same as it would.
Yeah. So I think let's just take this podcast. I think it's important to do all the steps like we just talked about, you know, making sure that we talk about it to people. Because obviously you want to like, that's the thing. We don't want to sabotage it by saying, well, we didn't really tell anybody we were doing a podcast.
Right,
and so
right.
This and that, the other. But outside of that, I'm definitely with you on the fact that over time, it's just going to grow. And that makes more sense anyway, because I feel like, I mean, I don't know how many episodes we've recorded now. This is probably our 20th that we've recorded, I think. We're right around 20 episodes.
I didn't even realize we did that many, to be honest with you.
I think we're around 20.
Okay.
I could be off, but it's definitely well over 10. I feel like as we keep doing them, just like with the course, we get better doing this together, even though we've recorded a lot of podcasts together before this with the My Wife Quit Her Job podcast. But I think we are starting to find like how we want to run these things and how we play off each other. And it's getting more natural and less fake. Not that it was ever fake, but it's more real versus, I think, initially, especially for me, just being more nervous about doing it. Whereas now I'm not nervous at all because I realize that as long as we just continue to be ourselves, like that's going to be something that I think people are going to be interested in, because we definitely don't sugarcoat things and we try to be really honest about what we both think. And a lot of times we don't agree. And, you know, my tendency is to want like everybody to be happy and agreeable. So it's hard for me to disagree with you on a recording. But I'm realizing now that that's actually helpful for people, because we do have two very different ways of running businesses. And I think people, it's nice to hear that there's like more than one opinion out there.
Sorry, time out.
What?
When have you ever felt uncomfortable disagreeing with me?
Not publicly. Privately, I'll disagree with you all day long.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah. But I mean, come on. There's public Tony and there's private Tony.
That's
public,
true.
Public
that's
Tony true. Is very agreeable. Private yes. Tony will fight you. But
exactly. Exactly. So I'm glad this podcast is going to bring out private Tony.
That's right.
And see what I have to deal with on a regular basis.
Oh, please. But I do think that that's the same thing with the podcast. Just I think, and I think probably the same thing goes for your podcast when you launched it, is that your podcast today is probably significantly better than it was 7 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I listened to some early episodes and.
Yeah.
You know,
you're a better interviewer. You know, it's probably even edited better because you've just gotten better and now you have someone that does it for you. But like all those things make a difference over time.
Hey, Tony, let's wrap this up here and summarize.
Okay.
Because we talked about a lot of different things here.
People are now terrified to launch anything.
Here are my things on how to overcome fear. And I'll let you go through your list right at the end here just to sum things up. I always think about the worst thing that can happen, and 9 times out of 10, the worst thing that can happen is actually not that bad. I agree with putting your best foot forward, to just tell yourself that you did everything that you could to make something successful. So even if the launch doesn't go well, then, you know, at least you tried your hardest, right? Don't self-sabotage to give yourself excuses. Probably the most important thing is to not consider, not put so much emphasis on this launch, right? Recognize that not everything's going to be successful the first time around, and the launch is really insignificant in the lifetime of whatever you're trying to launch. And for me, this probably doesn't apply to Tony at all. If there's money on the line, like an event that costs six figures when you think it's actually five, consider it play money. And this is kind of how I view the stock market, right? So you made a bet, and win or lose, you're just going to follow through with it. And then most importantly, test the waters before you launch something, right? Build an email list of interest, take a survey, whatever, and then just go from there.
I agree with all of those, even your money on the line comment. I think the other thing that people have to do is they have to get over themselves. They have to realize that, like what you talked about with the launch not being the most important, as long as you're doing your best work and you're putting yourself out there, don't focus so much on the launch. Just focus on continuing to put out whatever you're doing, whether it's course content, podcast episodes, videos. Continue to put in that hard work on a regular basis, and eventually you'll see the results. And stop focusing so much on that initial startup. If you just can keep at it, eventually you'll build up momentum and you'll have success.
And also, one thing I want to add is to put less pressure on this launch. Just launch like a minimum viable product. Get it out there, people will give you feedback, and then just pivot as you go along. And in general, in the long run, that's just gonna make your product, whatever you're trying to launch, more successful. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.